1 Peter chapter 2, starting at verse number 11. It says, "Beloved, I urge you as aliens and exiles to abstain from the desires of the flesh that wage war against the soul. Conduct yourselves honorably among the Gentiles so that though they malign you as evildoers, they may see your honorable deeds and glorify God when he comes to judge. For the Lord's sake, accept the authority of every human institution, whether of the emperor as supreme or of the governors as sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to praise those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing right, you should silence the ignorance of the foolish. As servants of God, live as free people, yet do not use your freedom as a pretext for evil. Honor everyone, love the family of believers, fear God, honor the emperor." Again, 1 Peter is a letter written to a group of Jesus followers who were undergoing a season of extreme persecution. We have been exploring this letter and highlighting some of the extreme circumstances that were present when this letter was written. The author of this letter, the Apostle Simon Peter, wrote to encourage these disciples to stay faithful to God amidst the trials they were experiencing. Simon said to be hopeful. We looked at that the first week. That is to live in the hope of the resurrection. He told them to be holy. That is to live in the holiness of God, knowing that they had been separated and consecrated to live their lives in communion with God. He told them to be special. He said that you are a holy nation, a royal priesthood, a chosen people, people who have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light, God's very special possession. He also said for them to be Jesus. He didn't promise that the suffering that they were enduring would cease from taking place. No, instead, he said, be Jesus. In all situations, remember how Jesus suffered but did not retaliate, but Jesus trusted God. And so this morning we want to continue our exploration of this letter by considering Simon's instruction about honor. Simon says, be honorable. Already in 1 Peter, there is a high call to be different, to be special, to be holy, and to live lives that makes a statement regarding our destiny or our destination. Again, we're aliens, we're exiles. This world is not our home, and so we live in such a way that it reflects our true home, our true destination of where we are true citizens. We are exiles in this world. Now that is a hard distinction to draw and identify. This world, as I've said earlier in this series, this world is polluted. It's polluted with a lot of bad things. And in an effort to fit in, we find ourselves becoming polluted ourselves in order to survive. But hear Simon Peter reiterate the call to reject polluted living. Again, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11, he says, "Beloved, I urge you as aliens and exiles to abstain from the desires of the flesh that wage war against the soul." He says, conduct yourselves honorably among the Gentiles so that though they malign you as evildoers, they may see your honorable deeds and glorify God when he comes to judge. I mean, the Jesus followers in this day and age were maligned by citizens of the Roman government. There was a decree in the Roman Empire that citizens had to worship the emperor. They could worship their true God, but they also had to worship the emperor, give him worship. There were things said about the early Christians. They were called cannibals. They were called cannibals because they did a practice called communion or Lord's Supper or Eucharist, where they ate the body of the Lord and the body of Christ. They were accused of incest because they would say things like, "We love our brothers and our sisters." And so they were maligned as evildoers. But here, Simon Peter is saying, even when you are accused of evil, you continue to live honorably amongst those. Do honorable deeds. The word honorable or honorably is the Greek word kalos. It simply means good or beautiful. Here, Simon is telling the Jesus followers that in this season of persecution, you have the role of bringing good to messy situations, messy season. You have the role to bring beauty to a world insistent on creating chaos and ugliness. Church, this call from Simon is consistent with God's call to his followers from the beginning of time to bring beauty to this world by taking care of the world and blessing the world. Remember, God told Adam and Eve to take care of the earth by ruling over it. In Genesis chapter 1, verse number 28, God blessed them and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." We were created to take care of what God has created. Take care and bless the earth. That's why we ought to take time to think about how we can better take care of our planet, how we can better take care of one another, because one another, people, you're living creatures. We're supposed to take care of each other and bless them. God told Abraham that God would bless Abraham and in turn wanted Abraham to be a blessing to others. Genesis chapter 12, verse number 2, "I will make of you a great nation and I will bless you and make your name great so that," I wish Trina was here so she can raise her hand and say, "Yes, so that you will be a blessing." God says, "I'm going to bless you so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." God told Israel, Judah, to be a blessing while they were in exile in Babylon. Jeremiah reported this to the exiles in Babylon. "Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile." They were in exile, they were in an enemy territory, yet God says, "I want you to bring peace and prosperity to that evil territory. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper." You know, simply put, living honorably is being good, it's doing good, and it's seeking good for others. It's being good. It's saying no to sin and the desires of the flesh. Holy living is a way of saying no. I will not succumb to the desires of the flesh. And the flesh is strong. And the flesh does lead us to do a lot of bad things. But being good is saying no to those fleshly and sinful desires. Doing good, that's just being active in good deeds. It's not just saying I'm good, but actually actively participating in good deeds. That's one of the places where we're trying to go as a church, as we try to do good in the community in which God has placed us. And seeking the good for others. That's looking for the best outcomes for others, not their demise. Not their demise. You see, that's love. You know, the definition of love in its simplest form is doing what's in the other person's best interest. That's agape love. That's "for God so loved the world that he gave his only son." He was doing what was in our best interest. When we seek good for others. We are doing what's in their best interest. Now tell me this, church. Do you think our society and world would be a little better if Jesus' followers were more honorable? If we were good, we did good, and we sought good? This is the reason it's important for us to see ourselves as partners with God in the transformation of the world. By being good and doing good and seeking good, we may lead others into a relationship with God, thus increasing the good in our society and world. He says, be honorable, because by doing good, it's ultimately going to bring honor to God. Amen? Simon doesn't stop there. He doesn't stop at living honorably, just being good or doing good and seeking good. He would go on to express the importance of honoring others. So here's the thing. We know how to honor others. Last month we honored our graduates. We took time to put them on display, to let them know that we appreciate them and to let them know that they have value. We honor those who have made valuable contributions in various areas. We do this in our homes. We do this in church. We do this at the job. We do it at school. Student of the month. We give them an honor for being student of the month. I want us to take a look at who Simon says to honor in his letter. First is God. We ought to give honor to God. And 1 Peter in the first chapter says, in this you rejoice, even if now for a little while you have had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold, that though perishable, is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Simon is calling the Jesus followers to stand firm, to be faithful, and in doing so, they are honoring God. Simon also, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, says we ought to honor everyone. He says, honor everyone. Love the family of believers. Yeah, we're supposed to honor those that are in the family of God. We ought to give a special place in our hearts for those who are our brothers and sisters and members of the body of Christ. But in saying honor everyone, that also means non-Jesus followers. I think it's important that from time to time, we find ways to communicate to folks, whether they are a Jesus follower or not a Jesus follower, that they have value. There are so many people in our world that simply can't look at themselves or don't believe that they have value. They don't know that God created them to have value, that they have significance, that they have purpose. And we in the body of Christ ought to be voices speaking to folks. There are a lot of kids that find value, and they find it not in churches, but they find it in gangs. They grow up thinking that they have no value. They have no value. They're insignificant. They then go to a gang. They become their family, and they let them know they're significant. They let them know that they're loved. They let them know that they're important, and they become a part of a gang. Church, we need to be the voice that lets young people know that they are important, that they are valued, that they are significant. We need to honor everyone, do good to them, being good to them, and seeking their good. So honoring God, honoring everyone, Jesus followers, non-Jesus followers. Then he speaks particularly at length on this one. Honoring the emperor. Chapter 2, verse 17 again, fear God, honor the emperor. Earlier, he talks about giving honor and respecting the authorities and governors. I spoke briefly about this last week. Let's be sure we understand what it doesn't say. Simon doesn't say agree with the emperor. He doesn't say support blindly the policies of the emperor. He doesn't say worship the emperor. That's again what the emperor was calling for the Roman Empire to do, to give him worship, to bow down, to rise up, to raise up statues in honor of him. He didn't say do any of that. But how can we best honor those who are in positions of authority? And again, this becomes a hard topic for us, because we live in the land of the free, where we have freedom of speech and we can pretty much say whatever we want without being jailed for it or murdered for it. You know, you may be murdered by someone, but the government can't, theoretically, the government can't stop you from saying anything against the government or doing anything. But how can we, as Jesus followers, particularly in a season that we're in right now in the 21st century, where government and politics has become so muddy and so disgusting and so chaotic, and everyone, I guarantee, if I ask for a raise of hands, how many of y'all are just done with government and politics? Everyone's hands just go up. I didn't even ask you to raise your hands, and some of y'all raising your hands. Trina is here. I thought you weren't here. But how many are just so sick of that? So how can we in the 21st century, as Jesus followers, honor the emperor? Here are some suggestions, and I don't think that they're too far-fetched. We can pray for those who are in authority. We could pray for them and be serious about our prayer for those who are in high authority, from the president on down, from the president to the dog catcher in Reynoldsburg. I think we have one of those. We need to pray for those who are in offices and in positions of authority. Pray for their lives. Pray for their families. Pray for their minds. Pray for their hearts. I serve a God that does some pretty amazing and powerful things in the lives of people. And I serve a God who moves when God's people pray. And maybe instead of thinking of the next jab or the next meme that we can post on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, maybe when we get that urge to do something that says something negative about someone we disagree with, maybe we pray for them. That's one way that we can honor those in authority. Another way to honor them is to simply recognize them as leaders in the capacity in which they govern. Again, we might not agree with them. We may disagree wholeheartedly with them. We may think that they're the worst thing for our city, for our state, for our country. We may think all of that, but we still need to recognize them as an authority. Again, we live in a different time and situation. You know, the emperor wasn't elected. You know, Peter wasn't talking to a group of people who elected that emperor. We live in a different state. But let's not dismiss what Simon Peter is saying because we live in a different time. Because I think it has some impact today as well. So we can pray for them, recognize them as leaders in the capacity in which they govern and serve. Number three, and this is a huge one. We need to tone down the vitriolic rhetoric. Now, usually this is, the rhetoric is usually amongst supporters of different people, Democrats and Republicans, liberals, conservatives, Tea Party, you know, whatever. That's where the vitriol, but also there's this vitriolic rhetoric spewed out against those who are in positions of authority. Now here's the thing. Everyone would agree with that. If I say, hey, don't talk about the president. It's just like stop all the memes and everything about the president. Now, if you support the president, many of you be like, yeah, that's right, Dion. Stop doing that. But if you don't support the president, that also needs to hold true. So right now, if you're a Trump supporter, if you're a Trump voter, for me to sit up here and say, hey, let's stop the vitriolic rhetoric that we spew about President Trump. If you're a Trump supporter, yay! But say if you're an Obama supporter, the same thing holds true. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, we have to tone it down. The world and those who are not Jesus followers may never tone it down. I'm not speaking to those folks. I'm speaking to us, Jesus followers. are we going to live honorably amongst the world? There's another way. That is for us to understand that we can disagree, even vehemently, without disconnecting ourselves from our higher call. So that's why I love, before Simon says, honor the emperor, he says, fear God. Fear God. You don't have to fear the emperor. Fear God. Give honor where honor is due to the emperor. So we talked about honoring God, honoring everyone, the emperor. There's another piece in here that I think is worth us looking at, found in chapter 3, the first 7 verses, speaking to spouses, to married couples. Let's read 1 Peter chapter 3, starting at verse number 1. It says, "Wives, in the same way, accept the authority of your husbands, so that even if some of them do not obey the word, they may be won over without a word by their wives' conduct. When they see the purity and reverence of your lives, do not adorn yourselves outwardly by braiding your hair and by wearing gold ornaments or fine clothing. Rather, let your adornment be the inner self with the lasting beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in God's sight. It was in this way long ago that the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves by accepting the authority of their husbands. Thus, Sarah obeyed Abraham and called him Lord. You have become her daughters as long as you do what is good and never let fears alarm you. Husbands, in the same way, show consideration for your wives in your life. Together, paying honor to the women as the weaker sex or vessel, since they too are also heirs of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing may hinder your prayers." I want to tell you, just confession, testimony, next Wednesday, not this upcoming Wednesday, but the following Wednesday, Christy and I will be celebrating 20 years of marriage. And one of the things that has made it work is when I walk in a house, Christy calls me Lord Dion. It works. It works. Okay, she didn't call me Lord. She didn't call me Lord. Interesting text here. Interesting text to deal with and to wrestle with. Now, I want us to know that in this text, Simon is speaking particularly to followers of Jesus who are married to non-followers of Jesus. So Simon has a particular interest in those who are married to those who aren't. So you have a married couple, one is a follower of Jesus and one is not a follower of Jesus. It would be easy for the follower of Jesus to say, "Look, I got this higher calling. I ain't got no time for you until you start following Jesus." But Simon says, "No, wives, honor your husbands." You see, because the way you conduct yourself may be the vehicle by which that non-following Jesus husband becomes a follower of Jesus. And in the same way, in coming to the word honor, husbands, honor your wives, treating them in such a way that your conduct will win them. Being honorable means that wives accept the authority of their husbands, that husbands honor their wives, that you both understand that in your married relationship, you belong to each other. You know, too much is said or not said about what it means that the marriage is a covenant and it's a partnership. And it's not about me putting my foot on the neck of my wife and saying, "Do what I tell you to do." And it's not for the wife to say, "You gonna do what I do." It's about two people loving each other, living as one flesh and doing that together and honoring one another. That's a marriage. That's a beautiful marriage. Now, while this is not particularly speaking to you know, couples that are, you know, both followers of Jesus, I believe that the principle here certainly holds for all married couples, right? We have a blessing in this congregation of having some folks here who've been married for a pretty long time. So I just wanted to try this, just see what this looks like. If you're married, even if your spouse isn't here, would you just go ahead and stand up? If you're married, just go ahead and stand up. Okay, if you've been married for 5 years, if you haven't been married for 5 years, go ahead and sit down. Okay. Okay, if you haven't been married for 10 years, go ahead and sit down. If you haven't been married for 15 years, go ahead and sit down. If you haven't been married for 20 years, go ahead and sit down. I mean, you can kind of stand up, Christy, because I mean, it's kind of like 20 years. But if you haven't been married for 25 years, go ahead and sit down. If you haven't been married for 30 years, go ahead and sit down. If you haven't been married for 35 years, go ahead and sit down. If you've been married for 40 years, if you haven't been married for 40 years, go ahead and sit down. If you haven't been married for 45 years, go ahead and sit down. I want you to look at this. This is like fantastic. If you haven't been married for 50 years, go ahead and sit down. You're close, Deb. If you haven't been married for 55 years, go ahead and sit down. If you haven't been married for 60 years, go ahead and sit down. I'm gonna just stop there. Bob and Nancy Swackhammer and Gene and Barb Scheibner, you just celebrated what, 65 years? 60. I would say be certain, sir. And how many years, Swackhammers? 61 years, 126 years of marriage. Now, y'all can go ahead and sit down. All I'm going to say is this. Married couples, you want to sit, you can sit down. You can sit down. Married couples, if you want to make 61 years of marriage, you want to make 65 years of marriage, go talk to the Swackhammers. Go talk to the Scheimers. Go talk to the Briscoes. Go talk to the Warwickas. Go talk to the Rudolphs. Go talk to some folks to learn about what it means to honor one another in marriage. I think that there's a wealth of wisdom there that often goes untapped. But just ask. Just how do you make it so long? 65 years? I praise God for all of you who have maintained and stayed faithful and true to your covenant of marriage, and may God continue to bless you in your relationships. What is the desired goal of living honorably and honoring others? It's bringing honor to God. It's bringing people to Jesus. It has been the way of Jesus followers for thousands of years, and it has been the way of the Jesus movement. And even though we tend to feel like the minority at times, last night I was listening to Jeff Walling, who was talking about the evidences of Jesus. And when you really think about Jesus and his influence on this planet, it's not that everyone follows Jesus, but we see the stamp of Jesus and the Jesus movement like everywhere. How many people here in the past 5 or 10 years have been to a hospital? Do you know who started hospitals? Jesus followers. Jesus followers started hospitals. Why? Because they were called to be hospitable. Why? Because back in the day when there weren't hospitals and there were people who were sick and they would just kick them out the houses, Jesus followers says we need to make a place, we need to make hospitable houses, hospitality houses to house the sick that eventually became hospitals. The mark of Jesus is all over this planet. It wasn't done necessarily through force. In fact, you look through history when the use of force was used to make people Jesus followers, it didn't really stick that much. But when people willingly gave themselves to the way of Jesus and began to live ways that were often counterintuitive, turning the other cheek, praying for your enemies, loving your enemies, honoring the emperor, honoring people who don't follow Jesus, doing good to them, it's a way that has lasted. And I believe it's a way that will last until Jesus comes back and says, it's time. So the goal of living honorably, being honorable, is bringing honor to God. And perhaps through our lifestyles, through our lives, people will see the bright light of Jesus, because he has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Simon says, be honorable. Let's pray. Oh God, thank you for your loving kindness, and thank you for Jesus Christ, and thank you for your servant, Simon Peter, who reminded Jesus' followers at a pretty difficult time that they had a higher call. They had a call to be holy and to be hopeful and to be Jesus, to be honorable. God, help us as a family to discover ways that we can be more honorable to one another in the family, to be more honorable in the world, to be more honorable to those who have positions of authority over us, our employers, our government officials. Father, help us to learn what it means to be honorable in our marriages. God, we pray that in doing good and being good and seeking the good, that it will ultimately bring honor to you, that people will fall down at your knees or at your feet, fall down on their knees at your feet and give you praise and give you their allegiance. God, you are higher than any emperor. You are higher than any government official, than any ruler, than any master, than any employer. And you're the only one worthy of our high praise. And so we give you our worship. We honor you in all that we have, all that we are. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If the church can be an assistance to you, praying for you, being a blessing to you, if there's something that we can do in your life, do some good, or be some good, or seek some good for you, we would love to honor you by meeting your need. If you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, like Sister Rowan did, and be baptized into Jesus Christ, we can do that today. Let's stand, let's sing.